You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, research into the legal rights of sex workers in New Zealand, Ireland and Scotland was undertaken, following 20 years since Aotearoa decriminalised sex work. Joel spoke to Senior Lecturer in Criminology and the School of Social and Cultural Studies at the Victoria University of Wellington, Lindsay Armstrong, about how sex workers are treated here in New Zealand compared to Scotland and Ireland, and if there are still any concerns participants in the survey have about their profession.
In your recent research, you looked into how stigma and discrimination correlate to the laws of sex work in New Zealand, Scotland and Ireland. Could you discuss some of the findings from the study?
Yeah, absolutely. So the purpose behind this research was to examine how laws surrounding sex work impact the way that stigma and discrimination impact sex workers, and also how sex workers experience the laws more broadly. So we interviewed 70 sex workers across these three countries. And what we found was, in the context of New Zealand, where sex work is decriminalised, sex workers were overall a lot more open about their work than they were in the other two jurisdictions. So people generally felt a lot safer to talk to other people in their lives about their sex work. They felt very strongly that they had rights in this context. And they felt that the laws in place in New Zealand were far superior to laws in other countries. And many participants described feeling lucky and grateful to work in the context of New Zealand. In terms of what we found in Ireland and Scotland, so it's probably helpful for me to explain what the laws are that are in place there, just to put this in context. So in Ireland, they have a version of what is called the Nordic model. And what that means is that it's a legal framework that criminalises the clients of sex workers and also other third parties. So, for example, people who operate brothels and people who are involved in either the management or the organisation of sex work. Now, that legal framework is often presented as one that does not criminalise sex workers, but often what ends up happening is sex workers are criminalised indirectly because of the laws around third parties and the definition of a brothel. If people work together as sex workers, then technically they are running a brothel and they can be convicted under that legislation. And so there was actually, in 2019, two migrant sex workers in Ireland who went to prison for running a brothel because they were working together. So those laws are certainly, you know, often used against sex workers. And that's something that came through very strongly in the research. So participants in Ireland in particular experienced a lot of judgment around their work. They were very clear that we exist on the margins of society, that it's very, very important that I keep my sex work a secret because if it became known that I was doing this work, I could be harmed in multiple ways. People were very scared of being evicted from the place that they lived or their workplace because of the laws around third parties, which can also implicate landlords. They were afraid of disclosing their work to healthcare providers. They were very afraid of law enforcement in that context and the importance of not coming to the attention of the police. In Scotland, it was very similar. So in Scotland, although they don't have the Nordic model in place, the policy discourse that is promoted by the government in Scotland is one that frames sex work as a form of violence against women. So while in New Zealand we have a framework that acknowledges that sex work is a form of work, in Scotland the government narrative is that this is a form of exploitation. And the consequence of that, again, was that participants felt that they were really marginalised in society in Scotland. They felt that these narratives about sex work really did not reflect their actual experiences, but they weren't being listened to by people in positions of power about how they actually experienced sex work. And so, again, this resulted in participants in Scotland feeling very reluctant to disclose their sex work in a range of settings, such as, you know, when accessing healthcare, they didn't feel able to contact the police if they needed help. They felt that they had no rights and that they had very little ability to actually challenge these conditions. So it was very different in New Zealand, and I don't want to overstate it and suggest that we have a perfect situation in New Zealand, because there's absolutely still work to be done. But participants here, comparatively, you know, we're very clear that, you know, we do have rights. You know, we can challenge if we are treated unfairly. But there was still also at the same time a lot of fear, particularly around discrimination. So there was, I guess, a contradictory context in which it was clear that participants felt a lot more open that they did than they did in Ireland and Scotland, but at the same time, they were still selective about who they told about their sex work, because they were aware that we don't have legal protection from discrimination in New Zealand, even though we have rights as workers.
You mentioned that New Zealand has decriminalised sex work. Both Ireland and Scotland has legalised it. Is there a difference between the two?
So I just want to correct that a little bit, because Ireland and Scotland have not legalised it technically. So the law in Scotland is a framework that you might term a kind of partial legalisation. So it's a kind of quite archaic approach to the law, where there are significant laws around the management and organisation of sex work. So it is illegal to run a brothel in Scotland, but sex workers technically can work, but they must work in complete isolation. So you have to work on your own to work legally, indoors. So outdoors as well, there's laws surrounding that. And then in Ireland, again, it is a form of criminalisation rather than legalisation, because it's illegal to pay for sex. It's also illegal to run a brothel and, you know, to manage or kind of facilitate someone in relation to their involvement in sex work. And again, although it's technically not against the law to sell sex, sex workers are often criminalised in other ways. So the difference in New Zealand is that decriminalisation means that, you know, there is no, you know, it's legal to pay for sex, it's legal to be a sex worker, it's legal to run a brothel. So there's a lot of flexibility around the ways that people can work. In terms of the differences, though, between legalisation and decriminalisation, that is a good question, because in debates around decriminalisation, we often see legalisation and decriminalisation being conflated and confused as though they mean the same thing. And they actually, in the context of sex work, have very different implications for sex workers. So legalised frameworks are in place in a number of jurisdictions around the world. So, for example, Germany and the Netherlands, also the state of Nevada in the US is another one. And so what legalised frameworks mean is that legislation is passed that specifically relates to the sex industry to make it legal. And what that generally results in is really cumbersome regulations that are quite difficult for sex workers to actually work with. And then you end up with a very small legal industry, and then a lot of people who are actually working illegally because they are not complying with these cumbersome regulations. And so these regulations will include typically things like mandatory registration with authorities as a sex worker, mandatory sexual health tests, only being able to work in really specific places. Whereas in New Zealand, rather than doing that, what we did was we repealed the laws which made it illegal to do sex work and to organise sex work, and we decriminalised it, meaning that we're essentially treating the sex industry in a very similar way to what we are, you know, other industries. And, you know, acknowledging it as a form of work and giving sex workers rights instead of designing highly complex regulations, you know, that just results in people working illegally. So that's the kind of key difference between legalisation and decriminalisation.
Despite New Zealand decriminalising sex work as opposed to Scotland and Ireland, do sex workers still have concerns about their industry and the work that they do?
Absolutely. Yeah, so again, when we looked comparatively, in this research at participants' experiences, participants in New Zealand were definitely having far more positive experiences in, you know, comparison to those in Ireland and Scotland. But when we look at, you know, conditions for sex workers globally, the bar is pretty low. You know, the conditions that people are working in under these various forms of criminalisation are pretty bad. So it's important to keep that in mind. And in New Zealand, certainly participants did still have concerns in terms of future change that they would like to see happen. So one of the major concerns was the lack of protection from discrimination. So even, you know, if you are very happy about your work, you know, you enjoy what you're doing or you're satisfied with what you're doing, there's still the risk that someone else could treat you differently in a negative way because of that, because sex work is still subject to stigma and there is no protection from discrimination. There was a lot of fear among participants about, you know, if I disclose my work in particular context, what could, you know, what might happen? You know, could there be consequences for me? So this lack of legal protection from discrimination was definitely something that came very came through very strongly in interviews. In addition to that, there was also the issue of one aspect of our legislation, which is Section 19 of the Prostitution Reform Act, which is a section that prohibits holders of temporary visas from engaging in sex work. So what that means is even if you have a visa that enables you to work, you can do any other form of work, but you cannot do sex work. Now, the rationale for introducing this clause when the Prostitution Reform Act was passed in 2003 was that it would somehow prevent against trafficking into the sex industry. However, the research that's been undertaken over the past 20 years in relation to this section has really clearly shown that what it has eventuated in is temporary migrants being a lot more vulnerable to exploitation because they have no rights in this context. So people still come here, you know, to work as sex workers who hold temporary visas, but they don't have any rights. So if they do have a bad experience, you know, if they are mistreated, you know, by a manager or by a client, for example, it's very difficult for them to ask for help. And while the participants in this research were people who do have the legal right to work in New Zealand, they were really concerned about their migrant co-workers, and there was a really strong feeling that this is unjust and it's also harmful and it really, really needs to change. It was, yeah, one of the top things that people talked about in interviews was Section 19 and how unfair it is and how much it needs to change.
That was Senior Lecturer in Criminology in the School of Social and Cultural Studies at the Victoria University of Wellington, Lindsay Armstrong, speaking about a recent study into sex work in New Zealand, Scotland and Ireland and the different experiences of workers in each of the aforementioned countries.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.